Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Dave Smith, your host for the day, and I am thrilled. I am absolutely ecstatic that I am being joined today by not only a good friend, a wonderful Christian mother and wife and grandmother, an IFA board member, and a candidate for the 42nd district, the state legislative district out there in DuPage. Her name is Stephanie Trussell, and she, by the way, also has a radio program on Sunday nights, 7 p.m. on 560 a.m. You really don't want to miss it. It's fantastic. So anyway, welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having us. My pleasure.
Yeah, well, you're the professional. You were once an amateur, but now you are a professional radio person, and I'm just thrilled to be able to talk to you. So, you usually interview me. I'm interviewing you today.
I like switching hats. This is great. I get to sit back and kind of relax a little bit, and you come up with the good questions. Okay.
All right. So you tell us and the listeners what compelled you to run. Now you were a lieutenant governor candidate in the past. Now you're running for state representative, which is Lombard, Lyle, and Glen Ellen, right?
Mostly, yes. And
mostly those communities in DuPage County. So tell me, why did you decide, well, I've had enough, I got to run?
Well, initially in 2021, I thought about it and I was seriously considering running for state rep. And then God took me on a journey, thanks to you, where I got to be the lieutenant governor candidate. And I got to travel 102 counties. I was prayed over and hugged on in 102 counties. And I fell deeper in love with Illinois. Of course, we didn't get the results we wanted. And so I let the cycle right after we lost. I kind of needed to unplug and help my husband with the restaurant. We own a restaurant in Lyle called Boss Dogs. And so
the hot dog stand. It's gourmet hot dogs. Gourmet and they're dogs, amazing. Right.
Thank you so much. And so I was just praying with some my friends that I pray with every Friday. And one of them is a homeschooler. Two of them are homeschoolers. Two of us have government school graduates. And one of them, during her prayer request, said, "Let Tara Costa Howard, our state rep, fail in her efforts to regulate homeschoolers." And I thought, what is she up to now? And I went on, after the call, I went on to fold laundry, gossiping with a Chicago Republican about who's going to run. It was just folding my laundry. I get a call from Illinois Policy asking me to run against Tara Costa Howard. And I just thought, I just found out what this woman was doing 20 minutes ago. So that sparked me. And I was, you know, God is all God breathed. I was doing the Esther study with my, you know, with my Bible study, with my women's group. Hello, such a time as this. The next day, I took a long run. And during my long runs, I was training for a half marathon. That's when I hear God clearly. And as I'm running around the tracks, I just heard him say, "What else are you going to do? Of course you're going to run for state rep. Come on. Everything that you've gone through in your life is leading you up to this moment." And so I've been on the journey and so focused and so just at ease that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen. Well, you know, this used to be a red district. It can be again. You are not just putting your name on the ballot and letting it ride. You are out there shaking hands, going door to door. You're going to events. You are actively promoting yourself. I believe that it can be flipped back. Tara Costa Howard is no longer the incumbent. She was appointed to a county judge position. And of course, I don't like that, but I'm glad that the incumbent's gone, which makes it just slightly easier for you because we're not going up against an incumbent. But what is the response you're getting, Stephanie? Number one. Number two, what is the website we can go to find out more about you and your positions and how to donate to your campaign?
Oh, very good. Well, it's so funny. When I used to say Tara Costa Howard, no matter where I went, if I said I'm running against her, I could be in a monastery of monks that have taken a vow of silence. But if I said her name, they would break it and say, "Oh, my goodness." I'm getting that same reaction with the woman that replaced her. She's been around for a while. She's a school board president. She's currently on school board. I was in a room full of conservative in my district the other night, and everyone I bumped into was literally like, "Let me tell you about her." So they're pretty fungible. They're all the same. Love raising taxes. is a focus on women's rights, as they say. So I know what the battle was. J.B. Pritzker nicknamed DuPage County Blue Page County in 2022. I know it's an uphill battle. And so if I'm knocking doors, you get some slams, you get some. A woman gave me the middle finger. Can you imagine? She was like a grandma age. And
Are you sure she wasn't saying that you were number one?
Right. In some form, it was a compliment somewhere. So I have a little bit of PTSD from knocking doors for Jeannie Ives in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter sign. But I seriously, David, I pray about it. I said, and sometimes I put on my headphone and I put on worship music and I go out there because I know what has to be done. We have the best platform. It's the best kept secret. And so I don't let anything get me down. It just inspires me because for every one person that might give me the finger or slam the door about women's rights, I get so many people saying, look, this is my house. I pay a lot of taxes. What are you going to do about schools?
Right.
Even a woman stopped me the other day, a woman who was a Democrat in my neighborhood who signed my petition, stopped me and said, they're speeding through our neighborhood, the school. What are we going to do about it? And I'm like, she's like, aren't you running for something? I'm like, I haven't even gotten the job yet. And already people are putting things on me because I know Democrats are tired of things too, David. They can't all be in on this. They can't all care more about indoctrinating children than they care about the quality of life, their property values. Now, since J.B. Pritzker wants to enact that Build Act, we're right in your little cul-de-sac. He could put an 8-family apartment building next door. And you know what I say, David? Hey, J.B. Pritzker, why don't you lead by example? Put a 13, 14, 15 unit building right next to your mansion, either mansion, the one with the toilets or the ones without, and let us know how that works out for you. Right.
Well, you know,
Really quick, my website before I get is Trussell, T-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, Illinois.com. And that's Trussell for Illinois. One of my dear friends, Jan Shaw, says it's two S's, two L's, twice the silliness, twice the love. So I take that as a compliment. But anyway.
Yeah, well, we know that J.B. Pritzker, the billionaire, will be funding a lot of these state legislative races on the blue side.
Yes.
So we need to step up. And you know what? Many hands make light work. So if we could all donate $50, even $50 a month over the next 4 to 5 months to Stephanie, if of a 100 of us do that, it will really help out tremendously.
Really quick, let me tell you, I'm in a Bible study group that I've been in for years, and one of my leaders, she's a widow. I love her dearly for everything, her heart, she's a great grandma. She's just awesome, and she dresses like I want to dress one day. But she gives me $25 a month. She doesn't live in my district. She's a widow, retired nurse. That $25 means so much to me because she, even though she can't vote for me, she knows I'm going to vote for her, and she trusts me. And I'm telling you, last Sunday, I was in such a fog. I'm ready to get out of church and go right to my car. She stopped me and said, I got to pray for you. You got something heavy on you. And her prayers and her $25 go a long way. And $10, whatever people can bring, because I know J.B. Pritzker can write a big check. But, you know, we're Christians. We know what the Bible, we know what David and Goliath, we know all kinds of stories where we don't have to match them dollar for dollar. And we're just going to get out there. My goal is to knock every door a couple times, at least.
That's right. Amen. Well, one of your big issues, and I probably should ask you, what are your big issues going into this? What are your talking points going into this race?
Well, I think that I just love how you told me this, David, a year ago. I didn't know they introduced as many as 6,000 bills per season. Yeah. I'm like, what the? Who can keep up with that? I'm telling you, I am not going down there with this goal in mind. Like, I've got 25 bills I have to introduce. I want to make it easier for people to open up businesses and sell widgets and achieve the American dream. Let's get rid of some of these taxes and fees. J.B. Pritzker has introduced 57 new taxes and fees since he's been governor. I'm very concerned about the quality of life in Illinois. It's the greatest state in the union. We have the worst leaders. I mean, the infrastructure, the Mississippi, the expressways, the railroads, everything we have to get these companies to move back or companies to stop leaving. So I want to lower the taxes. I'm concerned about the schools because even in a place like DuPage, where everyone moved here because the schools were great, get up the courage to look and see how your school is rating now. Your graduation rate, you're like, oh, 90%. Isn't that awesome? But scroll down to the math and reading proficiency scores. You will be shocked. I want to concentrate on our government schools and improving them. And why don't they get back to actually educating kids instead of trying to do everything but that, feeding them, mental health, being they want to be their mother, father, brother, but just teach them how to read, write, and add. That would be nice. I'm just concerned about so many things. Well, I live in DuPage, and a lot of people don't talk about safety because we have a wonderful sheriff, a wonderful state's attorney. But overall, my heart and passion is always in Chicago. That's where I grew up. That's where I formed my family values. So if we can make people in Chicago feel safer, and we can get suburbanites to once again feel brave enough to get on the metro and go down and visit a lot of
That's
people.
Right.
I used to get so mad when people would say to me 5 years ago, if someone said to me, oh, I haven't been to Chicago in years, I would get mad. I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's a great city. Now I get it. I've gone down. Yeah. I've taken the train. I've walked up and down State Street and Michigan Avenue. It's not the same place it used to be.
No, you know, even when my kids, my older kids want to go to a concert downtown, I say, really? I really don't want you to go there. Can you go to the right. suburbs? If they come into the suburbs? Because, you know,
you don't want to be like that, but come on, we're paying attention to what's happening and people should feel safe. And I worked at McDonald's all the way in Maywood, and my high school was on the south side of Chicago, Lord's High School in 56th and Pulaski. I take the bus and to the L and I doze off. Can you imagine feeling comfortable enough now to doze off on the train, even in the daylight? I want people to be like old Chicago. I love old Chicago. Let's restore it to what it was. When you go on State Street, even the McDonald's are gone. It's just graffiti, empty storefronts, and there's nothing magnificent about the Magnificent Mile. Is it Saks Fifth Avenue that's pulling out? Every major retailer, unfortunately,
and all
is
the
leaving.
Walgreens seem to be walking away too.
Yeah, that's really and you can't get mad at Walgreens. What do you want them to do? I mean, if these leaders are coming out, one in particular, I will be interviewing him on Sunday, the one that held the press conference, saying that they should be held, and he came up with some new regulation they should be held to. Why don't you get out there in your community and say, hey guys, if you don't want to lose this Walgreens, we got to act better. We lost a Target, we lost everything over here. It's us. They're running because money goes where it's treated well. They're not going to leave this community if they're making money and it's thriving. But if you make it a place where they have to lock up the toothpaste, and whenever I go to Hyde Park, because my mom lives near there and I want to grab a couple of things for her, I say, Mommy, what do you need? I'm coming in. And if I forget to get it in the suburbs, I'm flagging down a person. Could you come and get the Tide for me? Could you come? Oh, I forgot about it. I need this. Who wants to live like that?
They're
it's really
up.
Sad. And so it breaks my heart because I know, you know, you and I, we're very fortunate to live in the suburbs. We can run to Walmart. We can run here. But the people that are older people, they rely on Walgreens for their prescriptions. I'm thinking maybe they should just open up just a prescription, bulletproof, glassproof, just come and get your prescriptions then, and we won't sell the other stuff. We got to come up with some kind of solution. But I don't understand why they think Walgreens should take the L on that and just continuously lose money and just to keep something open.
That's right. Well, I also want to point out to our listeners, Stephanie Trussell is also a pro-life, pro-family Christian. Those are important issues to her. I want to touch on something that Darren Bailey, the Republican nominee for governor, did last week in a tweet. He said this, quote, "Let's settle this right now. I'm not banning abortion and I'm not restricting it. I've got two jobs as your next governor. Put more money in your pocket and make sure you can walk down your street safely." J.B. Pritzker has failed both. This has sent shockwaves through a lot of pro-lifers in the community. It's been a subject of debate. You know, you were his running mate last year. What is your insight here? Is he getting poor advice? Did he come up with this on his own?
As a conservative, as a Republican that's pro-life, immediately the Democrats will beat you over the head with that. That's all they have. They have nothing else. So you got to be ready to handle that. Sometimes I hear these consultants, David, even in some of the training that I'm having in my county, where they're saying, don't talk about pro-life, avoid it. And I'm thinking, how are you going to avoid it? They're going to run these grainy ads describing you as evil because you are pro-life. My thing is this. I have been endorsed by Illinois Right to Life. If I made a statement like that, they would fall out of their chairs and undo the endorsement. Like, what the heck? This is what I kind of understand what, you know, I'm not going to give him any grace on this. I'm sorry, but I kind of understand what he was trying to do. But this is what I encourage anyone that's pro-life and you're worried about it. You better lean into who you are because that's what they do. And if you try to, I'm going to meet him in the middle because, you know, this is a tough issue and I want to get more middle people to vote for me. If abortion is your number one issue, they're not going to vote for you. They're going to vote for the candidate that believes up to 36 weeks. And you need to make sure that your base isn't alienated because now the pro-life people are not going to write that check to you because I don't understand what happened to him. Maybe he's getting some bad advice. I know he prays about everything. I was on that team. Before a bus pulled off, we prayed about it. And that's unfortunate. I want to let people know that I'm unapologetically pro-life. I have to be. I would be suicidal right. since my mom was driven to an abortion clinic and didn't get out of the car and kill me. But I will tell people this. I would tell Darren to say this. Citadel, Tyson Foods, Morton Salt didn't leave because maybe a Christian conservative might go to Springfield and overturn their abortion laws. They left the state and took their millions and billions in jobs with them and taxes because of every other thing that's going on in this state. That's right. You know what? This is what I would tell him to tell people, just to shut him up. Look, as a Christian conservative, I envision a day when slavery will be, when abortion would be like slavery, unimaginable. I'm trying to save the great state of Illinois. So let's not talk about that issue. And you know what, David? The Democrats have everything they want. Hot and cold running abortion. Come in, let's fund it. What else do you guys want? Why are you talking about it? It's the abortion Disney World of the Midwest. So what else do you want? Maybe they want to do it in schools. I don't know. What else can we give you to shut you up?
So, you know, we've done messaging at Illinois Family Action for candidates, for pastors and other grassroots activists. And when a question like this comes up, when you're asked to respond to a grainy ad, as you point out, when the media says, gotcha, you need to be able to turn that around. And you did a wonderful job just now. You know, all these great companies didn't leave Illinois because of abortion or reproductive health, as JB would say, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I think it was an unforced error on Bailey's part. He's thrown a wet blanket on his base. Stephanie, let me just ask you, we're kind of running over time, but that's okay. This is podcast. Mm-hmm. In the primary, there were 233,000 less Republican voters in this primary election compared to 2022. Wow. Enthusiasm and getting out the vote is going to be important. Yeah. And if you don't get your base enthused, what are you doing?
It's not those professional Republicans like me and you that pay attention and we vote no matter what. We're a program. It's the apathetic Republicans. We look and they say they're Republicans, but they haven't voted in the last few cycles. If they're downstate, they feel, why should I vote? Because the collar counties win all the time. And so it doesn't matter what my vote is. Or here in the collar counties, they just feel like, what's the point? Both parties are the same. We're never going to win. Woe is me. And that's who I want to knock on those doors to say, this is our time right now to make a difference. We need your vote. Every vote counts. This is a very exciting time now that Trump has won re-election and he's trying to do all these things with voter integrity. And you work with, you know about what Carol Davis is doing. She's got some good things there. There is good news, but we need you to do more than just listen to talk radio and say you're Republican. You have to vote. Give us a chance. And it's so important that you just value that. And I know we don't like election season because we prefer election day. But right now, those are the rules that are in play and we need to play by those. So I like to vote on the first day of early voting because I don't have to think about it anymore. Yeah. Anything happens, I've already voted. So I'm just trying to encourage Republicans. Okay, if you want to wait to that last day and get your sticker, that's awesome. But you need to vote and you need to bring someone else to vote. What are you going to do? Complain about how bad it is and not actually vote? Are you going to complain? Are you going to do like our dear president said, fight?
So let me make it clear. I totally agree with what you're saying here. Republicans need to come out and vote. I'm going to vote for Darren because you know what? The alternative, that would be J.B. Pritzker.
Oh my gosh.
Unthinkable. It's a non-starter.
I keep saying, this is my hashtag, David, let's stop the Pritzker three-peat. He cannot get another 4 years to, you know, and I hope that the Darren Bailey team is listening, the two of us. They need a poster board listing all the companies that have fled since J.B. Pritzker took over, and they need another poster board listing all the high earners that have fled and their income that is gone and their and their children's. We're losing all of that to states. Even Democrats are fleeing. My goodness.
I know. All right. So listen, folks, StephanieForIllinois.com, two S's, two L's, TrusselForIllinois.com, right? Two S's,
right.
Two L's.
F-O-R.
And visit that site. Please make a donation. And we're going to come right back and talk about a few more items after this break.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. On a recent episode of 60 Minutes, interviewer Scott Pelley said to his guest, "You don't have much time. Why are you spending time doing this?" His guest, former U.S. Senator Ben Sasse, who received a fatal diagnosis of pancreatic cancer back in December, replied with a laugh, "Well, you invited me, so I assume you needed to fill some time." Well, short of a miracle, Sasse will not see his 14-year-old son grow up. He won't walk his daughters down the aisle. And yet he is right now teaching a nation a stunning lesson about dying with dignity. A former senator, Sass warns against the allure and the limits of political power while proclaiming what matters so much more. Committed to free markets, he warns against the illusion that more consumption will make you happier. He is at the same time optimistic about what technologies might provide and also concerned about what's happened to our sense of self and happiness, especially among young people. In all of this, Sass is not being stoic, as though his death is not a big deal. He mourns what the loss means to his family. He regrets all that he missed while traveling for work instead of being at home. And he talks about the pain that cancer has brought to him. But how he is dying is making right now a rare statement to the world. And it's being heard. As Dr. James Wood described in a recent World Opinion piece, in a culture that kills to avoid hardship and hides death to avoid reckoning, a man dying well on high-profile platforms is a subtly radical act. He is, without quite saying so, making an argument for life, for its dignity, its giftedness, its meaning, even at the last, end quote. Indeed, his voice is especially powerful in a world like ours, one that continues to accept various forms of euthanasia and doctor-assisted death. Across Europe, Canada, and a number of American states, advocates of what's often called medical assistance in dying, or MAID, market a promise of so-called death with dignity. Unspoken in that terminology is an assumption that we need death with dignity because there's no such thing as dying with dignity, as if there's no value to be found in facing suffering or enduring pain to honor life until it's God-given in. So many speak today as if giving up on life is what takes courage and compassion. And within a godless and hopeless framework of a naturalistic worldview, life is, as Shakespeare once put into the mouth of Macbeth, a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So why suffer to preserve such a meaningless existence when no higher purpose or value is available to be found? To die is to escape from such a life. Once pleasure or plenty are no longer available to us, there's no dignity to be found in how we die. But the Christian view is centered on Christ's death, which restored the dignity to which God created us. And because death is transformed, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, there is dying with dignity. There is meaning and significance in the courage to face life's end, and even the pain that so often accompanies it. In the Christian worldview, death and all of its pain and suffering is redeemable in the life of Christ because he defeated death. And that sort of courage is undeniable whenever it's witnessed in real life. As President Clinton, after being soundly critiqued by Mother Teresa on the issue of abortion at a national prayer breakfast, put it, it's difficult to argue with a life so well lived. And in the same way, what we're now hearing and witnessing in these final days of Ben Sass is that it's awful difficult to argue with one dying so well. As a wise pastor once observed to me, our children will remember all sorts of things about us, but the way in which we die, that's what they'll most remember about our faith. Death with dignity, that's a farce. It's a damnable idea that dehumanizes us both individually and collectively. But dying with dignity, even as we pray for grace and peace for him and his family, that's a profound gift God is giving all of us right now through Ben Sass. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored with Dr. Timothy Padgett. If you're a fan of Breakpoint, leave us a review wherever you download your podcast. And for more resources or to share this commentary with others, go to breakpoint.org.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
In a new study published in a Nordic medical journal, researchers found that teenagers who undergo medical intervention to change their gender are much more likely to experience a steep decline in mental health. For example, researchers found that any psychiatric disorders patients experienced before the risky sex change surgeries and hormones, such as anxiety and depression, rose by 50% for boys and over 30% for girls. Researchers concluded that psychiatric needs do not subside after medical gender reassignment. Medical professionals across the country have often claimed that the only way to help children overcome gender confusion is to affirm their false beliefs. But this study shows that this claim is a dangerous lie that only increases psychological distress. It's time for the medical community in Illinois and across the country to stop these harmful practices once and for all. Go to illinoisfamily.org to keep up to date on news items like this. That's illinoisfamily.org.
Oh! Okay, welcome back to the second half of our podcast, and we have Stephanie Trussell, candidate for the 42nd District in Illinois, state representative. She's joining us. She's an IFA board member. She's a mom. She's a grandma. She's a small businesswoman, and she's even running literally a half a marathon, all right, or at least trying to get ready for it.
Right. Well, that was last year. Last year I turned 60, so I decided last January, let me train for a half marathon. I was turning 60 in June, and I trained and I ran a women's half marathon in Naperville on Palm Sunday and still made it to church. I just want to say, so that was it, you know, so it was all God that I got there. But this year I decided I'm still running, but I can't train because I'm running for the great state of Illinois. So I'll maybe train next year for a marathon. But right now, all my energy, and I'm so blessed that at almost 61, I have the energy, the desire. I can't wait to knock doors. I love feeling the rings on my watch just to go and knock doors. How many can I knock?
God has given you skills, talents, and a personality. You can be easily called an extrovert. So
not that's really. Awesome. That's so funny. The radio gave me this fake courage because nobody could see me. So I was always just so, you know, passionate. And the first time someone asked me to be a keynote speaker at an event, I thought they were completely out of their mind. It's like, you want me to talk in front of people where they can see me? And God delivered that ability really quick. The week before Darren Bailey was going to announce me as his lieutenant governor, they had given me the speech and I'm practicing in my basement, just going over it. And I said, God, I can't read in front of people. And I just heard him say so clearly, I didn't bring you this far to fail. If you ask me, I will help you with this. And so I worked on it and I got through it and I got so good. I couldn't wait to talk after, after a couple months. Come on, it's my turn. Let's go. Let's do this. And I didn't need the teleprompter. And so, it's just been an amazing journey. And again,
I can't wait to see you on the House floor debating things.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be so cool to watch.
Oh my goodness. So, when every time I go to Springfield, DC is one thing, but Illinois and land in Lincoln and being there and just, I cannot wait. I'm so eager to go down there and truly, truly be a voice and stand up to what's happening. And tell you, David, every time I go by the DCFS building, I say a prayer because that building to me, there's a lot of stuff going wrong in DC, but I'm sorry, in Springfield, but the place that's supposedly designed to help vulnerable children, children that have been victimized, they're being victimized once again by very agency, and no one seems to be focusing on. That's one thing that I would love to serve and help with DCFS, because my mother was a foster child and her brothers and sisters, and she took them in or whatever. So I just think that's one of those agencies that we should be focusing on and fixing it really quick. In addition to child support, if we could figure out how to get the money from these parents that are just, it's so hard to get a person working and you have a track where they're working. Why is it so hard to get child support from them? If we can send a man to the moon, as they say, and we can't confiscate and take the money to make sure children aren't living in poverty or the government's paying for it because we just haven't figured out how to go over to that job and get the money from that individual.
Well, two solutions for that. Number one, or make it a little bit less of a problem, that would be, number one, reform no-fault divorce laws. Number one, we shouldn't make it so easy to get out of a marriage. It's... Number two, we should uphold marriage as God designed, right? One man, one woman, instead of shacking up and having three baby mamas and, all that kind of stuff. That's crazy.
That hurts families. I just learned something recently. Who we love, a president that we love, Ronald Reagan, when he was the governor of California, he started the no-fault divorce.
I know.
He wasn't perfect. We love him, but I just found that out, and I was like, "Oh my goodness!" And I don't know if he had regrets, if he ever talked about it, but that was the beginning of people just like, "Oh, I don't want to be married anymore. Let's break up the family." I gotta live my best life, or whatever the excuse is. But that's unfortunate.
Yep, I like to say it's easier to get out of a marriage today than a contract for a refrigerator.
Oh my goodness. Or better yet, a timeshare. Good luck getting out of a timeshare contract. Right. That's
right. Well, listen, I don't have a lot more time with you, so I'm going to ask you about the redistricting decision by SCOTUS. We do not have any Black Republicans in the Illinois General Assembly right now. You are a Christian Republican who happens to be black. Of course, there's no media. And by the way, there's a bunch of Republicans who are running this time around, as well as last time, actually, the last couple cycles, who are black. The media doesn't pick up on this. There's only complaints that, you know, minority districts are going to be underrepresented because of this decision that you can't use race. But where are they advocating for real diversity, conservative people of color running and getting elected to the General Assembly or Congress? What's your thoughts on all this?
They don't want more blacks. They want more Democrats. And if they're black, great. You know, they don't really truly want more blacks. That's just not what it is. I'm so happy that we finally stopped being treated like the special unicorns or these disabled baby fawns or something. We need our own district. We need this. We're supposed to vote our values. And the whole idea of with something civil rights or X is that eventually it achieves its goal, right? So we can eliminate it. We can say no more. We don't need that anymore. And it's really sad. I am so sick of Democrats using black people as pawns. They use us as property. Now they're using us as pawns. And they get so emotional. Don't you know they're trying to take away your voting rights? Stop it. And this is my family joke. My husband's white on black. We go out and vote. They don't. They try to disenfranchise the black vote. Does somebody come to my door and tell William to go to the right place? And they tell me, no, you go down the street to the alley. That's where you're voting. They try to disenfranchise me. What are you talking about? We have the freedom to vote where we want to vote. And in the no more poll tests. It would be different if we went to the polls and William got to vote and they told me to guess how many jelly beans in the jar. That's what used to be done by the Democrats. It was the Democrats that did that. So let's just stop it. Isn't this great that people will just go there and just vote? And I want people to do research. Look up the districts where the black caucus members in D.C. were. Look at how black people are faring in their district. Are they doing better because they have a black representative? Generally, it's offering the same thing. Failing schools, high crime neighborhoods, blighted zip codes with no grocery stores. But I'm supposed to vote for someone because they look like me. Because Jesse Jackson used to say that all the time. I stalked him on radio. We have to vote for people that look like us. The Bible tells, we're talking about hearts and your core values and who you are. I want to vote for Christians. That would be great. Or people with traditional values. I don't care what color they are because it simply doesn't matter. We're all Americans. And what do black people want that's different from what Asians or white? We want clean neighborhoods. We want a Walgreens. We want good schools, just like everybody else.
Amen. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, God doesn't judge the outward appearance of a man, but he judges the heart. And I think that's what we're called to do too. So your politics, your values, your priorities as a lawmaker is what really matters, right? Bottom line. And so let's just think about this. Stephanie, you're running for the 42nd district. My friend Fred Walls is running against LG Sims in the Senate district. We have Max Solomon, who's running for treasurer here in Illinois. We have Diane Harris, who's running for Secretary of State. Am I missing any other Republicans that happen to be black?
Oh, well, you mean for the state where we have Kristen Maxwell running for
Christian
U.S.
Maxwell. Yeah, that's
against
right.
Against Jonathan Jackson. She's dynamic and great.
Oh, my goodness. Right. She's great on social media, too.
Oh, my goodness. I want to be her when I grow up as far as being able to do those great videos that go viral. We have so many, and I meet so many black Republicans that it just blows me away. But like you said, we get ignored. They're not going to talk about us. They're not going to focus on us. And it just kind of makes me mad. When we did the Billiken Parade a few years ago, when I was a lieutenant governor candidate, they promised that we'd get media. And we never got any attention from the media, or I got a microphone stuck in my face talking about abortion instead of talking about, wow, this Republicans are walking in the Billiken Parade. They're here in our community. They're reaching out, asking for our votes. And it's just so many more black people, even in Illinois, even in deep blue Chicagoland, are waking up, coming out as Republicans saying, I'm voting my values. And a lot of them are Christians, a couple pastors I've met, and they're deciding I can't remain quiet. And look at what the Democrat Party has done to the city that I love, to the state that I love, and the corruption.
That's right.
And so you just made me think about it. I probably should do just a list of all the black candidates that happen to be Republican that are running this cycle. Maybe we should do like a panel or something. Like they say there are no black Republicans. Here they are.
The media in Chicago won't cover it. They won't call it out as saying, wow, look at this. No, because they don't want, they want people to believe that, you know, if you're black, you belong in the Democrat Party, right? So that's what they want you to think. All right. Well, last question, and then we have to wrap it up. And you can do a quick one on this. So last year, Governor Pritzker signed a law to require mental health screening in our schools, our public schools, from third grade to 12th grade. This year, they're trying to pass another bill that would fund it. My big concern is this is not an opt-in. It is an opt-out. So parents, if you're not aware that your kids are going to be have mental health screening, you need to opt out of these programs. What about the treatments? How are they going to treat those diagnosed with, you know, whatever mental health?
What happened to just teaching the kids how to read, write, and do math and graduate and fill out a job application? That they focus on so many. They want to be everything. Big brother, mother, sister. And there's one of the teachers union. These are our children. No, they're not. They're our children. Can you imagine a busy mom? You missed the form to opt out. And all of a sudden your kid goes through this screening. I say start, lead by example. Let's get J.B. Pritzker to do a mental screening first and all the teachers. And if they do it and they come out okay, then okay, well, let's do it. But in all seriousness, this is just another way to get more money, to take more control, because they'll tell you what your child needs to do. And we know better than you. We have degrees. We're learned and we care about your kids. And so what do you know? And so this is, come on, who thought of this? This is ridiculous. It would, if someone needs some help, I'm sure they can go to the counselor and say, hey, we need this help. We need these services that are available. But to just go ahead and just screen children, for what purpose? Unless the child's exhibiting something where they need some assistance, why are you butting in?
Maybe you should, once you get to Springfield, introduce a bill that would require a litmus test, a mental health screening for anyone who wants to run for state legislator. That would be hilarious, and it'd have to be an annual thing. I always said that we should probably screen them for drugs in the first place. So a drug screening and a mental health screening. Let's see who's serving
Illinois. I'm not for, you know, I said, you just made me contradict myself, David. I said, I'm not for going down to Springfield introducing new bills, but hey, I might have to think about introducing that one. Let's get everybody, hey, let's lead by example. I'm willing to take the drug test. I'm willing to, well, they call me a crazy conservative, so I may not pass the mental screening, but that's okay. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But you know what, what did Pink Floyd say? Teachers, leave those kids alone. You know, just stop it.
All right. Well, that's about all we have time for today, but I want to encourage people to go to trusselforillinois.com, two S's, two L's, trusselforillinois.com, and you know, check out her platform, make a donation. But I'm gonna, I made an error earlier. We really need to keep her in prayer, because she will be and is a target of the left, whether it's the slinging arrows verbally, or as we know, political violence is going up. So pray for her safety and her well-being. And I'll just say, pray that the Lord would bless her and prosper her campaign as she goes out to meet people. So with that said, thank you, Stephanie, for being here with us. I appreciate you very much. TrusselForIllinois.com.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.